Let me give you an update on where we're at. We're either going to be in our new facility on the 5th of September or the 12th of September. That's about all I know at this juncture. But they are like 85, 90% completed with the construction. So we're excited about that. We really don't have a date. Oh, do you got the address on the softball field? Do you really? Cool. All right. Let me see what that is. Okay. It's 4711. You can remember that. West 32nd in Cleveland. Thank you so much. 4711. Okay. So everybody come on out Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. And we got a big trophy. So we'll hold that trophy for a year. And then the next year you'll see who can, you know, maintain the trophy or take it away. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The facility is really coming along beautifully. We'll be calling you here this week on a one call for help. As soon as we can get the certain walls painted, we'll be putting up the rest of the wallpaper. So we're going to need a lot of help. We have some chairs coming in on Thursday. In the afternoon, we're going to need some guys to help us unload all those chairs because they just pull up with the truck. We have to take them off. So if you can call the office, 960-1100 extension 129, talk to Patty, ask her with the time and all that, and we'll let you know. Take as much muscle as we can get to get those chairs off the truck into the building. And then on the 4th of September will be our volunteer training day. That'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're having difficulty getting in the evening because of insurance issues. So mark that down as well. If you're involved in sound, children's ministry, ushers, any aspect of ministry, worship team, everybody will come together that day. And we'll run through everything. We'll show you where the light switches are once I find them. We'll show you how to get through and negotiate for the children's ministry. How you turn the squirt fountain on. How you turn it off. That'll be a good thing as well. And just really get familiar with the building. So when the families come, either on the 5th or the 12th, we'll be ready for them, right? Now, I was standing yesterday in the middle of a field at the Blessing Fest. Okay. And it was over on the in Lorain. And the lady came up to me. She said, "Pastor Kayton." I turned around. You never know what to expect when you hear that. And she said, "My name is so-and-so. And I go to this church, and I understand you're going to be opening in Valley View." I said, "Yeah, just a few weeks." "Oh," she said, "I've got so many friends out in that area, and they're looking for a church. So I'm going to send them your way." I said, "Well, that'd be great. I'd love to have them, you know." She said, "Well, I think I'm going to come as well." Now, I go over here to this church. I said, "Well, don't leave your church." I said, "But you can bring them if you want to." And I said, "Make sure that you know, give me a hug or let me know when you get there." So there are people that are talking about it, people that are anticipating it. But, you know, we're going to give tickets to all of you so you can make sure you have a seat. Because we only have a limited number. And we don't want all of you who have been with us the last 3 years to show up late and all the seats be taken. Wouldn't that be a hoot? You're like, "Where's my seat?" No, we're not going to do that. I'm just teasing. We got plenty of seats. I think it's going to be wonderful. So we're just thankful for what God has done, and everything is working together beautifully. Thank you for your giving, by the way. I don't get a chance to tell you that because we get the offering on the way out. And most of the time I forget to even say anything. We just go to minister and then you give on your way out. Our giving has increased in the last 6 weeks, just tithe and offering, I mean, substantially from just 6 weeks ago. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you're committed to what God is doing here. And so I'm excited about it. I thought, "Lord, I know you don't know what you're doing when you told me just to give on the way out." God, that's scary, because what if people don't give? And look at what's happened. We've seen a great increase in our giving. I'm talking about substantial amounts. So thank you for your faithfulness. If I don't get a chance to say that at the end, because we'll be ministering to people. It's always good to minister the word of the Lord to people. Hallelujah. Well, right now we're just going to go in another worship song. Can we do that? Is there somebody going to sing? Yeah. I think you had another song yet, didn't you? Yeah. So let's just worship right before I bring the word. And you all thought you were done, didn't you? That's all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's do that.
upon my heart has a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave, and many waters cannot quench this love. Ah, waters cannot quench this love. Hey, 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 come be, come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I come be, come be the fire inside of me.
Go back to that verse. What you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. Next verse. Your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up. Next verse. Your word and truth are dependable as ever. That's what you ordered. You set the earth going. I want you to know his word is dependable today. I don't want you to be shaken. I don't want you to be moved. I don't want you to think that things are out of control. When God set the stars in their sockets, they remain. When he flung the planets in their orbit, they continue. God knows what you need, and he knows where you are. So just worship him as the dependable, reliable, consistent, loving God that he is. So we bless you today, Lord, and we know that there is nobody like you, Lord, and we thank you today, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Look over at somebody and say bunga. All right, amen. If you don't know what that means, ask them. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Hey, guys, all of you that are teenagers, you know, we don't have a Wednesday night service now until we get into our new building. We had some logistical challenges with the Embassy Suites, but we love them anyway. It's all right. So we're going to have a, not a pool party, we're having a lake party at my house for all the teenagers. Y'all pray for me. Wednesday night. Can we go somewhere while they're doing that? Anyway, bring all the teens over to our house. Wednesday night, we'll put a little bonfire on. We'll have swimming. And we've got this rope that's tied to this boom that you can grab and swing out into the, you know, like the Tarzan thing. And be a blast. We've got this huge raft that's built for four, but we've had like 12 on it. So that's a blast, too. You can go out into the lake. Got a little kayak that you have to be really skilled to keep it upright. Otherwise, you go sideways and under the water. So that'll be fun, too. Moms and dads are going, okay, my kids are not coming, all right? But we'll have a blast. We hope that they'll come and get us a chance to hang out a little bit, and we'll have some food and stuff and all that, right? Okay, good. Hey, let's get to the word this morning, okay? Can you imagine if Jesus was on CNN last night with Larry King and he was inviting him to give a little bit of a discourse on what is it going to be like before the end of the age? And they were talking about it, and you know, they were interviewing him, and maybe there was a panel of people in these little boxed windows on the screen that were giving their opinion, like they do almost every night, giving an opinion about what they think is right and what they think is wrong. And Jesus is beginning to disclose to them, much like he did in Luke 17, to his disciples. He was proclaiming to them what it's going to be like at the end time. Well, right in the middle of that discourse, in verse 32, he said three little words that I'm sure immediately the disciples' minds, like a canvas, began to unfold the beauty of the artistry of God's intent. And that is this: remember Lot's wife. Now, we can read that and think, well, okay, what about Lot's wife? We don't even know her name other than she was his wife. I know a pastor that's what he calls his wife. Wife. He does. He'll say, come on, wife, it's time to go. I said, man, if I said that, I'd get slapped. How do you get away with calling her wife? But nonetheless, remember Lot's wife. Jesus, in this chapter of chapter 17 of Luke, is beginning to unfold for the disciples what is it going to be like when he comes back. If you look at the chapter in 17, verses 26 and 27, Jesus makes reference to the days of Noah. Everybody remember the days of Noah? Well, you remember about them anyway. We weren't there, but we've read about it. Here's what he says: and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. He said, well, what's so different about that? Come on, pastor, people are getting married every day. I mean, it's not unusual. You got to eat, you got to drink, you got to go to work, you got to go to bed. We're just carrying on life. Well, Jesus really wasn't saying they're just going to be carrying on life when he comes. Let's look at this a little bit further. In the same chapter, he not only mentions Noah, but he mentions Lot. He says this in verse 28 and verse 29. Likewise, or just like the days of Noah, it's also going to be in the days of Lot. Follow me now. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So really, what was Jesus talking about? He also said in a couple of verses in that chapter, verses 34 to 36, one will be on a housetop, one will be taken, one will be left. But when you're on the housetop and the coming occurs, don't go back down and get your stuff. Isn't that interesting? He said, leave your stuff in the house. In other words, if you're in the field, don't worry about picking up your grain. He said, leave that too. He said, but some people will be left on the housetop. Some will be left in the field. Some will be left in the bed. And yet others will be taken away. And I began to ask the Holy Spirit, what makes the difference between people are in both in the same places and one stays and one goes? Now, Jesus is sharing with his disciples that this is the way it's going to be in the last days. And I don't really think it's about what you're doing as much as it is what you're connected with. Jesus is talking about connection here in these scriptures. He's saying that in the days of Lot and in the days of Noah, people were connected to this world. They were not connected to God. They were connected to what they did. Their connection determined their destiny. Because they couldn't leave at the coming of judgment. They couldn't leave what they were doing to get in the ark. They couldn't leave what they were doing to get out of Sodom. Because they were connected to that which was in the place of punishment. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling us by the Spirit of God to separate ourselves from the things that will suffer punishment or wrath in the last day. It is that place that God said, you and I need to connect to. You, now remember, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. Not one place in the Bible will you ever find Lot built an altar. Not one time. Whereas Abraham continually built his altar and returned to his altar. Abraham built a connection with God. Lot built a connection with the systems of this world. Thus, Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife. Now, it's interesting as we look at this today that you and I are in this very same time frame because God has a message for this generation. There is a season that is on the earth that we've got to issue a rescue. Because there are those who must be released from their captivity. Now think with me about Lot. Lot in Sodom, the kings of the north, four kingdoms came against Sodom and the kings of his alliance, conquered them and captured Lot. When Abraham heard about it, he was incensed. He thought, no, not on my watch. I am going to go and rescue Lot. Now think about it. The Bible said he had 318 servants. Now, I don't know what it's like to have servants in a house. People that does your laundry. People that do your grass. People that clean your house. You know what I'm saying? Servants. When I think of that in the scripture, I think, well, Abraham had people doing his dishes. Abraham had people cutting his grass. Abraham had people cleaning out his gutters. Abraham had people parking his car. And he said, okay, all you servants, put your dish towel down. Push the lawnmower back in the garage. Come on, we're going to rescue Lot. Now, that's weird to me. I don't know how Abraham got so anointed and so confident that he could take a bunch of dishwashers and house cleaners and whoop four kings in their kingdom. But isn't that what the Bible says? You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter who you are or what you do or how much preparation you have or what the world thinks about you and me. You might be just a little old dishwasher, but you're in covenant with God and you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That means we can conduct a rescue to this generation. last week, I was so stirred up, man. David came and he sang for us. He gave his testimony about how he went the whole gamut of secular music and hip-hop and all of those things. And how God spoke to him and said, get back to the house of God. You're going to change your generation. And he reminded me that he was my first baby that I had ever dedicated. Nearly 31 years ago. And as I read this scripture, I said, God, you know what the truth of this is? It's those that are born in your house. Those that are connected to the covenant you're connected to have enough anointing and power to do whatever it takes to rescue a generation that is held captive by the systems of this world. Church, do you know how powerful you are? You know, sometimes the world kind of relegates us to just passivity and non-effectiveness because we don't have the money everybody else has, and we don't have the cars everybody else has, and maybe you are just a dishwasher or a lawn maintenance person. But listen, don't you look down at yourself based in the natural, because your power and your anointing and your source is not in what other people think or even what you do. It's who you're connected with. And Jesus was talking about this in Luke 17. He said, this is all about connection. I'm telling you, when I come back, it's all about connection. Those that are connected to this world will be just like the people of Noah. Those that are connected to this world will be just like the people of Lot. But those that are connected to me, they will be the ones that will see their destiny come to pass. Church, I feel a stirring in my spirit. I feel a stirring about the future of where God wants to take us. I'm telling you, not on my watch. We're not going to let one young person, we're not going to let one marriage, we're not going to let one person who has come to God and have been captured by the systems of this world and have maybe even backslidden. I want to encourage some of you moms and dads now, just because your baby said he doesn't want to serve God right now, it's all right, because you got some servants in this house, and we're not going to stop and we're not going to back down until we go get them and bring them all back to the house of God. Because this is a rescue time. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. This is a rescue time. You see, Abraham had brought back Lot from captivity. He'd already been enslaved. He'd already been enslaved by the systems of this world. He was like a little puppet. And Abraham came and rescued him and set him free. You know, that's powerful to me. Because in Genesis 14 and verse 21, the king of Sodom came. And you remember last week we did a little illustration with our kings. The king of Sodom came and he presented himself to Abraham, and Abraham walked right by him. He said, you know what? You don't have anything I want. I'm looking for king of Salem. I'm looking for the man with the bread and with the wine. I'm looking for the one that I know can develop intimacy and infuse in me the power of heaven and earth. The one that possesses heaven and earth. That's the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus. And there he was. He met Melchizedek. But it tells us something in verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, after he had come back with Lot, all the spoils, all the household, he said to Abram, he said, you know what? You can take all the goods for yourself, Abraham. Give me the persons. Now understand something about the Hebrew in that particular text. The word persons in the Hebrew means souls. Watch, read it that way with me. Go back to that text. He said, listen, you could have all the stuff. Just give me their souls. Give me the souls of Lot. Give me the souls of his wife. Give me the souls of his children. And your soul is comprised of your mind and your will and your emotions. And I'm telling you, the God of this world will let your stuff go. He'll even let you come to church. He'll even let you buy a Bible. He'll even let you go up to church on the North Coast in Valley View. He'll let you go wherever you want to go. But as long as he can maintain possession of your brain, your mind, your thinking, your thoughts. While Lot had a mental assent of who God was, the God of this world possessed his mind. And in this age, we've got church folk where tradition possesses our thinking, nullifying the word of God. Hate possesses our thinking and divides us among brothers and sisters of different ethnicities. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning in America is the most time, the biggest time of segregation of the week. Because we possess the minds of people. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'm not letting the god of this world possess my thinking. I'm not thinking the way the system of this world tells me I have to think. Now see, Jesus said, in this world they say that that the way to go up, the way to have victory is to assert yourself and step on everybody else. Jesus said, no. The way to go up is to go down. You see, the way to go in is to come out. See, he said this is a reverse kingdom. This is a mentality that most people will not get. And so Abraham rescues Lot. And Lot immediately is possessed in his thinking by a system of this world. Abraham walks right by him to the king of Salem and worships, and Lot doesn't join him. At that point, we don't read of Lot again until four more chapters later. But in the next chapter, the Bible tells us that Abraham meets God. Chapter 15, God begins to speak to him and affirm his covenant. See, God is all about covenant. God is all about promise. God is all about destiny and your future. And he began to reiterate to Abraham where he was going to go and what he was going to do. And it's interesting that once he told this to Abraham, he said, here's what I want you to do. Because Abraham said, God, how do I know this is going to come to pass? He said, here's what you do. Go get a heifer. In other words, go get a sacrifice and lay it on the altar. You know, that's encouraging to me, because people of covenant today are people that sit in the presence of God, who develop intimacy with God. He didn't come to Abraham and said, go build an altar. He said, go get a sacrifice at the altar you're already sitting at. And there they split in two, the sacrifice. And God said, it's going to stay on that altar. And Abraham stood by that sacrifice. And even as the vultures tried to come and consume what he had given to God. Now let me tell you something. There's times in our life, no matter what we give to God, the enemy, the system is going to try to come and steal it right off of the altar, right out of the place of our intimacy that we've developed with God. But Abraham wouldn't have it. He stood up all night and he shooed the birds away. He protected the sacrifice. He protected what he had laid on the altar before God. Meanwhile, while Abraham was sitting at the presence and at the feet of Jesus, the next time we read about Lot is in chapter 19 and verse 1. Look at it in your Bible. Abraham is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom. The word gate means a place of recognition and authority. Lot understood that he had to sit in the place of recognition, where he can recognize the systems of this world. He'd come to rely upon all the financial systems, all the fashion systems, all the media systems, all the news agency systems, and yes, even the religious systems of this world. He realized that that's where his authority was. But Abraham said, no, that's not where my authority lies. My authority lies in the very presence of Jehovah, right in the very presence of Elohim, the very presence of the God that delivered me and sent me forth into the promises of my life. Two different places to sit. And let me tell you something, where you sit is where you receive your influence. Now let's go back to Luke 17 in our mind. In verse 32, Jesus is talking about this discourse in regard to his coming. He's saying, like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot, these people will be connected to things of this world. But even when the door shuts, they won't recognize it until it's too late. Even in their escaping of Sodom, they'll think you're joking until the fire falls from heaven. Why? How can someone be so deceived? Now hear me, please. Jesus said in verse 32 of Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. There's probably no greater influence in my life than my wife's. Did you know that God designed a woman to be a helpmeet to a man? Think about it with me. It was Eve who was seduced by a devil who then influenced Adam. And Jesus said, remember Lot's influences. What you and I are connected to is influencing us. What music you listen to is influencing you. What preaching you listen to is influencing you. What movies you watch is influencing you. What you look on your computer screen is influencing you. Who you hang out with is influencing you. And Jesus said, remember Lot's influence. That's why the systems of this world are designed the way they're designed. They're designed to influence us, to make choices and decisions based out of that influence. The only reason why, as a person who's not in marriage, that I will have sex with somebody who's not my husband or not my wife is because I'm influenced to do it. I'd never do it. And the only reason why I won't do it is because I'm influenced to stay pure. And it all determines on where you're sitting. So two angels show up in chapter 19. Two angels come to Sodom. And immediately Lot recognizes them. Isn't that crazy? He recognizes them as servants of God. And he acknowledges them. Two angels come in the evening. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He acknowledged them. He recognized them. This is not a man that wasn't familiar with the influences of the Holy Spirit. This was just a man who was more influenced by the systems of this world. We know the story, and I can't go on verse by verse, but these men go back to his house. They were going to stay out in the courtyard, and Lot said, you can't do that. Of course, the whole population then began to recognize these two men and wanted to have relationship with them. You remember the story. If you don't, you ought to read it. It's very intriguing. A lot of truth there. But nonetheless, these men come pressing on Lot's house, up on his porch, wanting to get in. Give us those men. Lot opens the door and said, no, you can have my virgin daughters, but leave these men alone. This would be an offense to God. And suddenly the door was closed and the angels blinded a generation so that they would not do this evil thing. Can I give you some hope today? Can I give you some encouragement today about your children? Can I give you some hope about your adult kids that aren't serving God? About your children, your teenagers that might be cold to the things of God? Can I give you a little bit of encouragement? It doesn't matter how close evil comes to them. God will move his hand and blind that influence from devouring them. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, if you have a young person, family member, you have someone that's on the precipice of serving the world and not God, stand up. Come on. Holy Ghost is just moving me to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now for every family member, Lord, who has a son or a daughter or has a friend in the family, some connection, some relationship. And Lord God, we see them, Father. They're on the brink. They're on the edge. But God, I know that even as Lot didn't know what to do, the angel of God was able to sweep his hand across that circumstance and blind the influence so they could not find the door. I pray now, God, that the influences would be blinded in our children's lives, in our marriages, in our husbands' lives. I pray that they would be blinded right now in Jesus' name, and they would have no effect. They would have no impact. There would be no destruction in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, that blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of scornful. Why is he blessed? Because he's not influenced by that personality. I don't be influenced. I could give you illustration after illustration. It doesn't matter whether you're in the church or out of the church. We're all influenced by where we sit. By how the people are interacting with our lives. Sometimes you could have a happy experience in your church. And all you got to do is have coffee with the wrong people. Before you know it, you don't like your church like you liked it before you had coffee. God didn't speak to you. You know, Sister Nene spoke to you, or Sister Yeye spoke to you, or somebody had a word that they were telling you about what they thought, and all of a sudden their thought became your thought. And God said, remember Lot's wife. Remember the influences in your life. Go with me again, back to Luke chapter 17. Let's talk about this wife for a minute. I thank God that I have no need of any servants in my house. My wife does all the washing and cooking, cutting the grass. I'm a blessed man. Woo! Who needs 318? She's better than 400 servants. Some of you ladies are looking at me like, uh-huh. No, I'm a servant to her as well. We serve each other. There may be one time she's washing the floor. Next time I'm taking SpongeBob and I'm doing the floor, all right? But it's good to be a servant in the house of God. Servants are conquerors. Abraham's servants were conquerors because they sat in the right place. In covenant. But let's talk about this woman called Lot. Do you have a few more minutes? All right, a few more minutes. First of all, in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. Genesis 19 and verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place. Everybody say, whomever. I love John 3:16. Do you know that scripture? God so what? Say it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is a message for whosoever. God didn't come to Sodom just for Lot. God came to Sodom for whosoever would believe. Isn't that powerful? As wicked as they were. As rebellious as they had become, God in his mercy came to them and said, Lot, whoever you can find that'll come out and disconnect from this system, tell them to come. Tell them that they're invited. And that's the message of this hour for us, is not to prejudge people based on their previous connection. You might have been connected to lesbianism or homosexuality. You might have been connected to alcoholism or smoking a reefer or shooting up a drug. It doesn't matter what you've been connected to. What matters is who you are connected to now. Disconnect and connect. God said, whosoever will. I'm encouraged by that. Because if that wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't be here. Neither would you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Whosoever, he said, whoever you have in the city, just get them out. Get them out. That's why Jesus, as his custom was, came into the church, came into the synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news. Jesus had a calling on his life to go rescue those that have been captive, those that have been captured, those that have been bound, those that have been bruised by a system of this world that will love you and leave you. God said, I've come for them. Let me just do a little sidebar. Notice it was his custom to go to church. It's interesting that we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, and only 2.4 times a month can evangelicals get to the house of God. You know, on any given Sunday, there's about, here, there's probably about 60 to 100 people that are missing. Isn't that crazy? Now, some of you are every Sunday people, but there's at least 60 to 100. And in the other location, there's over 100, sometimes 150 people that aren't there. And I've seen it before. It breaks out right in the sanctuary. Sometimes they all come at the same time because they think that when they're not there, nobody's in their seat. But they just flip-flop. So they're there on one Sunday, and then the other one is on the other Sunday. And they come back on the following Sunday, and their seat's there. But every once in a while, it gets mixed up. And they walk in, they go, oh, there's somebody in my seat. And they always respond, they say, no, this is our seat. We sit here every 2.4 times a month. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not me. All right, come on, that's not me. That's not me. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, when Lot went and told them the story, especially his sons-in-law, he said, look, we got to get out of here. We got to get disconnect from this system because God's going to judge this system, and we need to connect to God, and we need to walk in covenant. You know what they did? They started laughing. They thought it was a joke. And there are a lot of people today that think this is a joke. There's some sitting in here right now think I'm a joke. But it's all right because this ain't no joke. And you can laugh now, and in God's mercy, he's letting you laugh. He's like saying, Sarah, why'd you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you did. I heard you. And they thought he was joking. And all of a sudden, they were eliminated. And as we see this progressing, we find out that it ends up being Lot and his two daughters and his wife. Out of an entire city, out of an entire region, just that small remnant determined that they could believe God to connect to what he said and disconnect from what they say. And the scripture goes on to tell us that they couldn't really let go. Now, when I was a kid, my mother used to smack us on the shoulder, back of the head. And at times, we had to do some real serious punishment. If we were really bad in church, this is no joke, we were made to come home, roll up our pant legs. She would put uncooked rice on the linoleum floor and make us kneel in a corner. Now, had I known 911 back then, I'd have called somebody on that crazy woman. And she would often say to me, Louis, quit fidgeting. Now, I didn't know what a fidget was, but I was called one, fidgeting. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says lingered, that Lot lingered on the command of God. That's really what it says in the scripture. Go to verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed the punishment of the city. Verse 16, and while Lot fidgeted, he couldn't make up his mind. What am I going to do? What should I do? I want to serve God, but you know what? Man, I like to partay. But I love Jesus. I don't want to go to hell, man. I don't want to be burning or nothing. Hey, you got some beer? I mean, just fidgeting between two opinions. Couldn't figure it out. Isn't that crazy? I know none of you are like that. You've never been that way. But Lot and his family were fidgeting between two connections. And look at this. And the men. How many men were there?
Two.
How many hands on two men?
Four.
So now put this in your mind. There were four hands, and the Bible says, and the men took hold of the hand. His wife's hand, that's one hand, and the hands of his two daughters, plural, that's two, three, four hands. Wait a minute. There's more hands than there are men. Maybe these angels had two arms. All I know is this. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, and even while you're fidgeting, God, can I have your hand? God will take your hand, hold on to it, and say, baby, we are going out of this place. Even when you're not sure what you want to do, so put your stuff over in Lowell's lap. Even when you're not sure you want to come, mercy will take the hand of the fidgeting person and pull them up. And even though you resist me a little bit and you don't want to come, mercy say, you got to come, girl. Don't you know I love you? You got to come. I said, no, you ain't going back there. Come on with me. Come on with me, because mercy will not let you go. But watch, watch. Mercy grabbed hold of their hands. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Even while mercy had a hold of her hand, she slipped out of the hand of mercy and looked back. And when she did, she became a pillar of salt. Now, symbolically, salt was driven into a land so it will not produce. It became benign. Her life became meaningless when she turned back. And Jesus said, remember the influence in Lot's life, because that influence, when they slipped out of the hand of mercy, became benign to the purposes and the destiny of the kingdom of God on the earth. Church, this is about the cause of God. There is something bigger than you and me. There's something bigger than our problems and our relationship strife. There's something bigger than our money. There's something bigger than black and white. There's something bigger than young or old. It's about the kingdom of God being manifest on the earth. And you and I cannot allow the influences of this world to cause us to be non-effective. And she looked back, and the scripture says in Hebrews 10 that we walk by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of my soul. I've committed my soul to God's saving power. The way I think, my emotions, my will is yours, God. And even as I lay it on the sacrifice and the vultures of the air come to try to consume my covenant, I will not let them. Casual Christianity is dead. It's over. If you think for 1 minute you can just tiptoe through the tulips on a Sunday, it's over. Those days are behind us. The enemy has released demonic powers on the earth with teeth and hair. They are giants in the realm of the spirit of darkness. They are despots. They are those that are master spirits. They are those who have come to steal, kill, and destroy. And laying your head in the lap of Delilah will cost you your life. And it is a season now where I've got to take my mind and lay it on the altar of God and say, God, my thoughts, your thoughts, my thoughts, your ways, my ways. I walk by faith, just like Abraham did. I walk by faith. I believe it, God. What you said is what I do. Lord, I won't leave your place of intimacy. This is all I live for. Nothing will change that. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. The angels taking them by the hand said, run to the mountain. Run to the mountain. And Lot said, if you please, sir, if you please, can we go to Zoar? You see, Zoar is just a little bit of Sodom. It ain't the full-blown thing that I used to do. It's just a little bit of porn once in a while. It's just a little bit of my prejudice come out every once in a while when I have to. It's just a little bit. Zoar was a little town, but it was in the plains of the Jordan. And so the church, yeah, we're born again, man. We're going to church, but we still want a little bit of the systems of this world. And the angel said, run to the mountain. And I'm going to tell you why today we're afraid to go to the mountain. It's the same reason Lot was afraid to go to the mountain. If you have that slide, put it up. Because on a hill far away, a hill called Calvary, a hill with a blood-stained cross, where Christ himself was suspended between heaven and earth, where your sin and my sin was laid upon him, and there he died. And God's admonition was, run to the hill. No wonder Lot didn't want to go there. It's the place of dying to self. I can't go that far. You people are fanatics. Yeah, don't give me this stuff. God loves everybody. He knows my heart. Be talking about that stuff. That's crazy. You old bunch of fanatic Pentecostal crazy dung talking people. Ain't nothing wrong with having a few beers, getting a little high. As long as I don't get drunk, the Bible said I can't be drunk. I'm not drunk. I can still drive home. Y'all taking this too far. Give me some coffee. Give me some donuts. Get me out of here in 20 minutes. My God, how can you talk so long? I ain't even looking at your paper. How do you talk so long? I mean, tithe, 10%? I don't think so. Because we don't want to go to the hill. We don't want to go to the place of dying to self because we like ourselves. We are in love with us. And the admonition to Lot was, go to the hill. Had he gone to the hill, there would be no Moabite. Had he gone to the hill, there would be no Ammonite. But he went to a little bit of what he came out of. Preacher, preach. Preach, preacher, preach. Then after church, we all sip our wine to calm our preaching nerves. And if you don't think that's true, you better think again. It is true. Just a little bit of Zoar. And God said, I want you to go to the mountain. And because they didn't go, his two daughters said, we're about to perish here. Yes, yes. They saw no hope and they saw no future because there is none in even a little bit of sin. For the wages of even a little bit of sin being is death. Let's get our father drunk. It's one of the saddest commentaries in the entire Bible. Now it's your turn. And out of that decision came an entire nation entire seed of rebellion. You don't think for 1 minute your private choice has public implication? You better think again. When I say live right, love everybody, pray hard, I'm not trying to be cute. Couldn't be if I tried. What I'm asking us to do is to go to the mountain. And like Jesus who said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. As the old songwriter said, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Jesus, I don't understand it, but all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And the world will convince you that you don't have to do that. You could still have a little bit going on, and God will wink. He's winking right now. God's grace has been extended. If I could, I would grab every one of your hands. Can I have your hand, Chuck? I would take your hand, Paul. I'd love to take every one of your hands. Janet, give me your hand. That's mercy. Just squeeze somebody's hand and just say, that's mercy. Because mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary. It's in the mountains, my friend, not in the plains of Jordan. Today you need the mercy of God in your life. All you have to do is reach up. Say, Lord, take my hand. Old songwriter said, put your hand in the hand of the man. All you got to do is reach up. The Spirit of God is here to take your hand. He'll take your hand. He won't even talk about where you're coming from. He wants to talk about where he's taking you to. Come on. He just wants you to know he's got a plan for you. But on the way out, remember Lot's wife. Remember what's influencing you today. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. Come on. No turning back. Come on, take this whole world. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. He said, I have decided. There it is. That's it. Wait a minute. That's it. You've got to make a decision. Will you follow Jesus? That's what it is. Come on, choir, stand up. Come on, can you sing that with me? Come on, choir. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. bow your head with me right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, thank you for your hand of mercy today, that you're walking through these aisles, up and down these rows, tapping people on the shoulder and say, can I have your hand, please? You say, Pastor, I need to put my hand in God's hand. Would you pray for me? If that's you all over this room, my God, would you do me a favor? Would you just slip that hand up, not to me, but to God, and say, Lord, take my hand. I need your mercy this morning. Hands are going up. Come on. I need your mercy. I need your hand, God. I need your mercy. Mercy, God, was there. Great in grace was free. I need your mercy. In Jesus' name, altar ministers, elders, would you come? Would you come to this house in the front of this room? Some of you are going to remember this day because you know why? It was one of the last meetings at the Embassy Suites when you gave your life to Christ. You'll never forget it. You'll say, I remember it was one of the last services that we ever had at the hotel that I gave my life fully to Jesus, and I came out of a world system and I decided to follow Him. Isn't that wonderful? So if you'd like to have prayer today, just somebody to agree with you. I think this is so vital. It really is. Why don't you come from where you're standing? Join somebody across the right or the left in prayer. If you raise that hand, would you do it now, Father? As they come, would you bless them? As they come, let them come out of what they've been in. Let them, oh God, find a new influence. Let them come, oh God, under the influence of God alone. I pray, Lord, that they would go to the mountain. I pray there, God, that they would embrace the blood-stained cross. There, oh God, they would find mercy. God, mercy. Mercy would come, Lord, to their lives. Bless this house. Bless these precious people. I thank you, God, for their precious jewels in the crown of our God. Thank you, Lord, that each soul is so vital to your kingdom. I thank you, Father, that you are in control of our lives. We worship you now, and we bless you in Jesus' name. We want you to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. If you need prayer, come. We'll see you not Wednesday night, next Sunday. If you'd like to help us, just stay in tune with Extension 129-960-1100. Love you guys. God bless you.